Hey friends, welcome back. Excuse the raspy tone of my voice. It has been a rough weekend and it doesn't include fun, but welcome back. We're getting into the next part of my series of being a Black woman in educational leadership. I kind of started it last week as an ode to Black History Month. So if you would like to hear more, just stay tuned. And I promise this episode is a lot more streamlined than the first one. So again, stay tuned if you want to hear more. Hey leaders, welcome back to Part in My Lead. You already know what time it is. Thank you again for tuning in to the Leadership Podcast that's designed to keep it real with you. If you're ready for me to spit some game, stay tuned.
It doesn't matter what's happening. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what you're on or this person's on. This is what I like.
Advance myself, you know, spiritually, mentally, everything. I like to advance myself. I have more fear going back than... I love what I do. I mean, when you love what you do, you want to be the best at it. You know, you don't...
Let's talk. Before I get into my few talking points for today's episode, I would love to start it off with a beautiful quote from Michelle Obama that really speaks to my heart, because if you know me, then you know that talking about this is, it kind of gives me a nervous or anxious feeling, but I'm glad that I'm opening up and sharing more with my listeners. And so the quote goes, "History has shown us that courage can be contagious and hope can take on a life of its own." So by me sharing my story, I'm being courageous, and I hope that it leads other people to telling their story or maybe speaking up or maybe just paying attention to their surroundings. No matter if, you know, what ethnicity you are, you can help each other out, especially for marginalized populations or the oppressed. So I'm going to talk about a few different things today about what it's been like so far being a Black woman in education and a Black woman in educational leadership. And with educational leadership, you know, yes, I did have to attain a certain degree to get to where I am, but before that, I have always been put in different types of leadership positions just because I believe I exhibit those qualities. And I'm not ashamed to say that out loud. Like, I do exhibit leadership qualities. Sometimes I don't like to wait around. I'll take the reins on something and then start recruiting and trying to get more people involved. And that's just my personality, whether it has to do with work or my personal life. That's just who I am. And so, one thing that I noticed that I had to get used to as I was, you know, working my way up or working my way into positions that I wanted to obtain, I noticed that there were certain times where I was invited to the table just because of my skin tone. And what I mean by that is I can tell you exactly when, where, and how I was nothing but a token at the table. I was just the person invited to the table to get a box checked off to say, oh, we have this committee or we have this employee, and it shows that, you know, we are diverse. And that still goes on today, not just in education, and it goes on in multiple businesses. It goes on in large corporations. And if you don't believe me, then I suggest that maybe you take a deeper dive into it and look, that you'll notice that there's really not too many people of color holding higher ranking positions within organizations, including the one that in education, period. I will say this, and please don't beat me up when you hear this. I had to come to a point where I realized that being a token was not a bad thing. I mean, granted, it has this negative connotation to it. But what I know most people that invited me to the table that consider me a token, they probably didn't bank on me opening my mouth up. And so if you remember in the last episode, I told you the moment that I realized it was time for me to start speaking up and I felt empowered. From that moment on, it's kind of like a snowball effect. My empowerment got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, you know, even now to this day, I sit at a table and I may be a little afraid to speak up right away. It's because more than likely I'm trying to articulate or craft what I'm going to say in my head before I actually say it out loud so that I don't come off a certain type of way. And that is, I wouldn't necessarily say a weakness, but it's just that's something that I'm still working to get over and I'm still working on how to just jump in and say something. But back to what I was saying. So there, has been times where I knew I was the token just so an organization can be in compliance with maybe a new diversity code or maybe a new action plan. And being considered a token, yes, can be a bad thing, but I use it to my fullest potential. And here's why. We, and I'm speaking for black women, we are like huge advocators of wanting more seats at the table, pushing for more seats at the table. And so I got to a few spots where I did get a seat at the table. And then from there, the way that they thought they were using me, I was using them. I was acquiring knowledge from them that they wouldn't necessarily share with me outside of that room or away from that table. I was learning more secrets that I could use for my benefit to help pull more people up to the table. So again, being a token is not necessarily a bad thing. When people think that they're using you, you have to flip that back around and figure out. I know that sounds awful, but you have to be strategic about everything. And not all the time are you going to, I mean, it's getting better now, but not all the time are you going to get an invitation to the table and there be multiple or diverse ethnicities at the table. And you have to take that and run with it. You have to take that and figure out how to use that to benefit others. And so if you are given, and if you're a religious person, I would say God. So like if you are given that foundation from God, you pray about it and you figure out how to utilize it. I wasn't ever, when I was like the token at the table, I wasn't, and I say at the table, and I'm using table figuratively. It could just be like within, you know, like an organization or whatever the case may be, but I'm just using it for figurative language purposes only. But I wasn't necessarily mistreated. All I'm saying is that I recognized when I was. I recognized when I got an opportunity just because I was Black, but I used those opportunities for to just better serve people in general. Something else that I've noticed about being a Black woman in educational leadership or in a leadership position is I noticed that I always get tasked, or the majority of the time I get tasked with hard to reach kiddos. And that's just been across different, even when I was in the classroom, I was tasked with hard to reach kids. And there's not a problem with that. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything, because I want to say this loud and proud. I love the hard to reach kids. And the reason I love the hard to reach kids, because Sharina was once a hard to reach kid, and it took a special somebody to reel me in. Keep it real with me, show me the ropes, and push me to get out there and get it. So I have always vowed that's the reason I went into education, so that I can do the exact same thing for other children. Where I'm going with this, though, getting tasked with the hard to reach kids, is that I was always told it was because, oh, you know, you're the strongest and you can handle it. When really and truly, they didn't know if I could handle it or not. In my mind, I was always like, wow, am I the strongest because I'm Black? Am I getting tasked with this kid because, you know, my white counterparts can't handle a kid, a non-white kid? Am I getting tasked with this kid because my white counterparts, you know, grew up in the suburbs and don't know how to handle a little kid from the projects? So those type of things played out throughout my mind. And typically the answer to all of those things are yes. Let's just keep it real. Even now, I noticed that there are a lot of my counterparts that cannot handle students of color because the way that they talk, they think that maybe it's, you know, disrespectful and all of that. In fact, I'll share an example. I was walking down the hallway and I was speaking with a kid, and it was a young Black male. And we were talking and a teacher whipped her head around real quick once I started laughing. And she was like, Miss Hubbard, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah. And she said, oh, because if that student was talking to me like that, I would have written a referral. And so it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but instead of me getting, you know, pissed off, what I did was I used that as an opportunity to educate her on what was really happening in that situation. And in her mind, that student was back talking me. What she didn't know is that student and I were joking and playing around. And the reason why I feel like she didn't know is because it's a cultural difference. It's a cultural divide. We have a hidden language that others, you know, don't know, or the way we have hidden words that others that's not in our culture are not familiar with and may see that as being, you know, disrespectful. And that is where I think a lot of the discipline referrals that I do see on a daily basis come in at, because those students are misunderstood. And a lot of the times when they come in and they conference with me, I'm giving them a chance to speak and they're telling me stuff. I'm like, oh, really and truly, like, if I could write a teacher up for this, I would, you know. And I don't mean that. And trust me, I love my teachers. I love my students. But I just think that there is a lack of knowledge on both ends too, because it's not just the teacher's fault. You know, the students, we need to do a better job of educating them on how to, and I hate saying this because I know I'm probably going to get some pushback on this, but on code switching, like how to use your professional tone in a professional setting, and how, because don't get me wrong, like, be yourself. If you hear me speak, if you came into the building and you heard me speak, you would be like, oh man, she's like so cool. It's so funny because a lot of parents, I was at the basketball game because I have to do basketball duty sometimes. And finally, like, I think it was the last home game, a couple of the parents like pulled me off to the side and they were like, so what exactly is your title here? Like, what exactly do you do? And I was like, oh, you know, and I tell them, oh, I'm an assistant principal. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, why is that so hard to believe? And they talk about the way that I interact with the kiddos, with the kids. Like, oh, man, the kids love you. Your energy is fire. Like, the music's playing, like, you're dancing. And that's just part of me. That's part of my culture. And I know, you know, what I always tell people is just, like, my title is just that. It's just a title. A title was just going to get me cussed out more. A title should not differentiate me being a human and understanding. It shouldn't differentiate that, like, me having a heart, you know what I mean? And you do see a lot of that. And I kind of got off track, but what I was saying is that sometimes the kids that are deemed hard to reach aren't really hard to reach at all. You just have to try to intentionally reach them. And I have been tasked with those kids from the moment I was in the classroom on up to now, because I don't think people are willing to put in as much work, or maybe they're afraid they're going to get it wrong, or it's not going to be right, it's not going to be genuine, whatever the case may be. But the problem I have with that is that you're not trying. You're not trying to understand. And I think that is where the true problem lies. Something else that I've struggled with being a Black woman in leadership is being labeled as people's, like, golden child or favorite and all of this. I laugh it off a lot. And I just always have, because it's nothing new. Like, I've heard that from the moment I entered the workforce. It was even when I was working at a fast food restaurant, I heard that. and I'm not a teacher's pet, and I'm not a golden child. I'm not any of those things. What I am is I am a hardworking individual. I'm an individual who's constantly seeking out opportunities to relate to other people, whether they're from my background or have the same background I have or not. Whether they have this, they're from my culture or not, maybe we have the same ethnicity or not. I'm always trying to figure out ways to just be relatable and learn from other people, because communication is, it goes, it's just a continuous cycle. It goes, I say both ways, but it's kind of like in multiple ways it goes. And a lot of people aren't like that. And on top of that, I'm very approachable. So the thing that ticks me off is when people are like, oh, you know, oh, you go ask, or you go say something, like, you know, you're the favorite, you're the, and that's not necessarily the case. It's just that I'm doing what it takes to just be able to connect with various people. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love that. And maybe, you know, they should try it as well. But it definitely doesn't, it's not, I'm kind of offended. Like when people say I'm the favorite, that's definitely like not the case. Something else that I noticed, and I know I feel like I'm like going fast. I'm sorry. I took a B12 vitamin a couple of hours ago, and I probably shouldn't have taken it this late because now I'm super amped up, but I had a lot of homework to get finished. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but I didn't get to do any work yesterday, and it was because I had a freak accident. I wish it was for something noble, but it wasn't, but I'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, something else that I wanted to talk about, and this one may take me a little bit longer, I don't know, but something that I'm still struggling with, something that I've always struggled with, is putting limits or limitations on the level of my creativity out of fear. And what I mean by that, like, don't get it twisted. Like, when I was in the classroom, I was a badass teacher. Now that I'm an administrator, I'm a badass administrator. And I don't say that with any arrogance. I don't need my ego stroked at all. It's just because if you know Sharina, then you know that I am passionate about whatever it is that I'm doing. I'm just a passionate individual. If I feel like if it's something that's built into my day, then I'm going to take ownership of it, and I'm going to be great at it, and I'm going to teach others how to be great at it. And I'm just, whatever the case may be, let me finish what I was getting ready to say, but just don't get it twisted. I just, if you don't remember anything else before I finish this statement, don't get it twisted. Okay. I've put limits on myself though, when I was in the classroom and even as an administrator, out of fear, because I didn't want to, and I still don't want to outdo an authority figure. Like, yes, I'm in leadership, but of course, just like any other corporate position, there's still levels to the leadership. The word kind of slipped my mind. Chain of command type flow chart junk, all of that. Yes. So I'm not the top of the food chain, pretty much. I'm close to the top, but I'm not the top of the food chain. And so where that leads me is I want to shine. And I know in a previous episode, I said this before, I think in season one, like, don't dim your light for others. That episode really was for me, because typically sometimes I get in these funks where I do kind of dim my light because I don't want people to feel intimidated by me. Sometimes I try to figure out ways to make other people think something is their idea without it coming like straight from me. Sometimes I don't share certain things because I'm like, I mean, let's be real. There's past trauma there. I've been told no before. Or I've been told, oh, that doesn't sound really good. Or, oh, I don't know about that. But then in a blink of an eye, the same person that said, oh, that doesn't sound really good, and I don't know about that, is the same person who takes that idea, adds maybe one more layer onto it, and then sells it off as their idea, and all of a sudden it's great. Okay. So not only, you know, so my past trauma really kind of comes from theft, like people stealing my ideas. And if you know me, I'm willing to share. It's not that. But my thing is like, don't sit up and shoot down and shoot something down that I've requested that we do only because only out of like intimidation or feeling like, oh, you know, my idea is better or something, or just so that you can steal it and make it your own. How about you say, oh, that sounds great. What if we added this to it? And then someone else jumps in and says, yes, and this. Let's be that type of, let's have that type of working relationship. Let's collaborate. Let's do that kind of stuff. Don't just shoot my stuff down because, you know, like I said, because you're intimidated by the idea or my thought process. So as a Black woman in leadership, I feel that there's oftentimes that I just have to tone myself down, like tone it down. And people listening to this who work with me probably like, girl, you don't be toning nothing down. Quit lying to these folks. And I do. I have some like hidden like insecurities and anxiousness within, but I do have, it's so crazy because I do get a lot of my empowerment from the teachers, Black teachers, female teachers, white teachers, it doesn't matter, male teachers. I get a lot of empowerment and feedback from them. And the thing that I like the most is that they tell me like you're real, like Hubbard, you like you down for the cause, like you a real ass person. And I am. And it's just because of my past experiences and then how I want to be viewed in the eyes of others as like, I just want to be viewed as a transformational leader. And if you know me, you do know that that is definitely true. And if you know me, you know that I'm always trying to seek out opportunities to be greater, to be better. And not all the time am I allowed to get those opportunities just because somebody's not feeling it right then and there, you know? And so what I have learned as a Black woman in education is even if I cannot change the trajectory of, you know, where the campus is going or where the organization is going, because maybe my ideas are a little too far-fetched at the moment and people aren't ready to jump right in. What I've learned is I can only control what I can control. And I wish I had another word for control right now. So something that I've learned to start doing is just trying to immediately impact the people who I serve, kind of like your immediate family. So in my case, my immediate group that I praise, those are the ones that I try to immediately like impact right away. And then from there, I'm hoping that they're going out and they're impacting more people. And then of course, I'm always out and about. If you know me, you know that. I'm always out and about. So I don't just touch the people that I serve directly. I touch multiple people, including students. And so I'm thankful for you just tuning in and listening. And I know it was kind of like all over the place, but I'm just trying to think of different things that I would like to share out loud with you about being, you know, Black in education or a Black woman in educational leadership. But I'm open to like questions. If there's something that I haven't touched on that you want to hear, again, I am recording these parts all month, so I'm willing to share those things. And I'm thinking about getting more people on here. Maybe the next episode, I'm gonna have to try to grab a few Black women from school to see if they are willing to jump on an episode. I'm going to just share their experiences with you. And maybe it could be just like an open discussion. Maybe I can ask questions and they can answer. Or just the conversation will flow. And I got a few people in mind who I know have a story. But just like me, it takes courage to share. So I'm not going to make anybody do it. But I am going to try to solicit some help from some individuals. So that they can share their story. Ooh, maybe some males too. I do have men who listen. So, and just get them to share, you know, their struggles and their triumphs or victories or whatever the case may be. So again, thanks for listening. And I will be back next week with part 3. Thank you again, leaders, for tuning in to today's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, share, and continue listening. Also, if you get a chance, please leave me a review on whatever platform it is you're listening to Pardon My Lead on. Also, if you would like to connect with me, all of my information can be found on the podcast details page. Last but not least, I want you to go lead great on purpose.